Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Word Vomit Podcast, a podcast where we give our take on the worlds of video games, music, comics, movies, and television. I am your host, Emmanuel. On this episode, we have Randy Kings.
Hey.
And we're recording from Garage Studios. This podcast is free for your listening pleasure, so if you want to help us out, make sure you're liking, sharing, and most importantly, subscribing.
Yes.
Randy Kings, what is up?
Not much, dude. Not much. Just another week in the week in the world.
Welcome to episode 111.
Is it for real 111? Can we confirm that? It is 111 because 110 was the last one.
Stop teasing me, sir. I'm already self-conscious. I know. The last time.
You know, that's why I'm saying it, because now I actually have to look, because last time we messed up. And yeah, no, we are 111. Good call.
Don't play with my emotions.
It's a palindrome. It's the same.
I don't even know what that is, but I don't like it.
It means it's the same way in verse and forward.
Oh.
Like wow is a palindrome.
Yes, it is. So is civic.
Yes.
And level.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
I'm slightly edumacated.
There you go.
I know a couple things here and there.
It's 111. Yay.
111. Woo.
Is that the correct way of saying it? I don't speak Spanish, so you know.
I don't even care anymore.
You know?
Actually, you know what? There's a part of me that hopes that it is wrong.
Yeah.
So that the few Spanish speakers can be like, oh, este pendejo.
I'm like, what?
Ni sabe cómo hablar español este pinche baboso. I hope that's a thing.
I don't know what you just said, so I'll have to get a translation later.
They do.
Okay.
They do.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I didn't realize how busy this month is. I was just thinking about that because I'm not saying that it came out but in May, but Avengers Infinity War like was kind of the end of April, beginning of May. It's still a big hit. Then we have Deadpool's coming up. And then also next week is Star Wars or Solo, a Star Wars story, which I'm hearing not necessarily it's like a stellar movie, but it's a fun movie to watch.
Okay.
I'm like, huh.
That's all I really want. It doesn't have to be a masterpiece, but no. So long as I walk away smiling.
Did
I'll
I like
happy.
The movie? Is it a fun film? Yeah, all right, that's fine.
All right, cool.
I heard it's like less serious than the other Star Wars movies. I'm like, all right, I would expect that because it's Han Solo.
Yeah, and Childish Gambino's in it.
I know. Don't go all dark DC movies on me.
Funny that you should mention that. Actually, I forgot. So apparently, Childish Gambino actually had some jokes put into Black Panther.
Really?
Yeah.
He wrote some jokes in.
He put some jokes in.
Oh, cool.
He
is a writer.
He's a writer, right. And the joke about how T'Challa's sister wanted to just end the ceremony.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's like, this corset is very uncomfortable. let's just finish this. Let's wrap this up. And then the other one was like, What are those?
I thought that was good. I like her one-liners made that movie for me.
Yeah,
like, not even, like, one-liner. People can't see, but when, because I was make the gesture, but when she flips off.
I love that.
Flips
I
off love her brother. Scene. And then her mom, whose back is turned to her, knows exactly what she did. It's like, oh, yeah.
Talking she puts her hand down immediately,
well, because that's totally a sibling thing to do. I have siblings, you know.
Did you see the animated version that was on BET a while back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They also have something very similar to that where they're sparring against each other.
Yeah.
And he goes, I know you wanted the position of Black Panther. Do I need to be worried about you? She goes, why? What are you going to do? Exile me? He goes, no. I'm going to tell Mom.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
And she's like, you wouldn't dare.
Well, you'll find it funny is that Black Panther, as far as the animated universe, has been around. Like, in both iterations of the modern Avengers cartoon series that Disney's put out, Black Panther has like been a... Like, in the first one, I think it was Earth's Mightiest Heroes, he was, like, a main dude for a long time. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I was
that the one that had Hawkeye still wearing the mask?
No, he had... That's a different one. No, this is... He had glasses.
I know he was in that one, too.
Yeah. Now, he's in it, and then they did a... And they had that one, and then the newer iteration where it's like more they changed it because they were making the movies were coming out and becoming very popular, so they made the look match up with each other.
Can I say I didn't like that?
I actually am okay with it because
it matches. I like the older stuff. I understand what they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
But I like the original look.
Well, I think what it was is because it's still the same voice actors.
Yeah.
Same animation team even, but they wanted to change the design a little because they needed to restart the story.
Right.
And It would be weird if
because they kind of did go through the big ones. They went through Ultron. They went through the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah, they went really quick.
They
did
all of that, and then they did the newer Avengers cartoon series, which is what Disney XD has now. And they changed the look a little bit. I think they also wanted to match up with some of their other animated cartoons. They like Spider-Man has a different art style.
Yeah,
and they wanted to put them in the same world. So
that's kind of what they ended up doing with Batman, if you remember.
Oh yeah, they had to change it.
They had to change it because they were eventually going to do the Batman Superman, world's finest episode.
Yeah, and they needed to make them look the same.
I'm not gonna lie, I hated the new direction they went in. I understand why they did it, but I felt like there was more detail in the original Batman the Animated Series, like first and second season.
I think it's also
I like the idea that there was the yellow around the bat emblem on his chest.
Yeah,
it made the bat come out even more
because that was what we were seeing, like in the movie. If it goes back to the Tim Burton films for live action, and you know the comic books was like that.
Yeah,
but I think it also has to do with costs. Like that costs money to do those things. If you have everything in dark colors, it's probably easier just to animate it that way.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because especially from my understanding, they always started off everything with like just a pit paper, and then they drew over that.
Yeah,
in order to get the they wanted to emote the proper settings of Gotham City,
the gothic part of the dark parts. Of Gotham City. Even like their Joker design was different. Like he had less colors as far as his features.
Yeah,
like he had the black and white eyes. Right? Is there it was black an iris.
Yeah.
He didn't have the white in his eyes. It was all black.
Whereas the other one had a more clown-looking face, like the red lipstick.
Very bright color. Again, bright colors. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of those character designs. But, you know, money. And I get it. But again, back to the whole thing with Black Panthers, I'm glad they finally put him in live action and that it was successful and that people do like it.
And that even when they carried it over into the Avengers movie, they still kept a lot of that regal film.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it still had the fresh Black Panther smell to it. Like, you just bought the new comic or something, or a new car.
Well, even, like, when you see them in Wakanda and they have the music and, like, the whole feel about it, I'm like, yeah.
Good job. Keeping it in there.
Good job, guys.
All right. So, episode 111. One of the first things that we're going to talk about, and hopefully you guys caught on our Instagram.
Yes.
Did a little mic check for you on that one, is they released the trailer to Bohemian Rhapsody, the biopic of Queen.
Yes.
And I remember seeing it. I remember getting really excited about it.
Yeah.
And then I remember reading the articles of people getting pissed. So before we get into the pissed part, Randy, what did you think of the trailer?
I really like it. I mean, mind you, it's also the teaser trailer. They'll tell you it's the teaser. And I'm going to totally give them a shout out. They actually hung in the movie. You're going to hear the audio of all these people who put in.
It's the one song I refuse to sing.
I'm okay with it.
And it's not because I don't like the song. Far from it.
Is it Wayne's World? Did it mess
you up? I love the song. That is the song.
Did Wayne's World ruin it for you?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's the fact that I can't sing it well.
Well, I mean, it's tough.
I feel like if I can't do it well, I would be doing it a disgrace I tried.
You know, it's a song.
I love the Wayne's World version.
I'm pretty.
Because it helped it get back on the charts after that.
Yeah, that's true. What I'm going to say is I'm pretty certain that the band Queen, Freddie Mercury, Roger Taylor, Brian May, all those guys would not care that you didn't sing it well, but the fact that you enjoy singing it, because it's their song. It's obviously a song they want everyone to sing.
Hey, if you got to spew
in this,
go ahead and spew in this.
Yeah, it was a cup. That was so dumb. I'm like, ew, that's gonna be, you might as well just let them throw up on the floor.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the trailer, I saw it and I went, hot shit. I can't believe this came out.
Yeah, because I had heard that I was in developmental hell for the longest time.
If for people who don't know, the movie's been going on for a while. It stars Rami Malek. He was not the original choice. Originally, they were supposed to get
Sacha Baron Cohen,
who actually, I guess everyone was okay with except for the band. The band did not like the choice. They respect Sacha Baron Cohen, but they understand that he's also more of a comedic actor. And they didn't think he would take it seriously, although he swears he would, but he understood why they would go against it. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, because I don't want Borat being playing the part.
Would you be able to take it seriously if you saw Bruno?
They said it would be a distraction, and I understand because Freddie Mercury was their friend. He was their brother in arms. They loved the man, and they would want him to be depicted well on screen, at least as far as the actor who's playing him. So they didn't get him. And they got Rami Malek, who, if you don't know who he is, he was in a bunch of shows. He's more famously known as the lead actor in the show Mr. Robot on USA. I'll always remember him being the friend in the blockbuster hit Need for Speed.
Dude, can you imagine the pressure that guy's about to go through right now?
I think he's already got, like, he actually did some things online where he was going to Abbey Road Records. He needed to do some recordings because he actually sings in it, which I'm like, fuck, you gotta sing these songs. He went up there and he thought he had already gotten the approval from the band, which they did get. They did give him because they like his acting, but they were supposed to listen to him on video and listen to what he sounds like to make sure that what they could do with him, like how much can he,
like,
sing?
Are we gonna have to put, like, are we gonna have to dub over him when he sings?
Is he, how much help does he need? And apparently they couldn't get the video file right, so he's walking up Abbey Road Record Studios, famous place, you know, legendary. He's crossing the street where the Beatles put their cover, all this stuff. Goes up there, finds out that the band is there. They had not seen his video, his record sample or his audio sample. So he had to watch him sing a song.
Oh my God.
And he was telling him, it was very nerve wracking.
Yeah.
And he says, it was funny. He goes, of course, the moment before he walked through the door, he saw a picture of the band because he goes up, sees all these famous photos of like Rolling Stones, the Beatles. He sees Queen and Freddie Mercury's face stares at him. And he had a moment where he goes, I saw that picture. And all I could think was, don't fuck this up. Do not fuck this up. I'm like, yeah, don't fuck
at
this
least,
up.
At least he knows.
And I'm like, don't
at
fuck
least
this
he
up.
Knows. Okay, cool.
I mean, I saw the trailer. I was pleasantly surprised by, A, how well he looks like him. Like, from young to
dude.
Old, how he talks. I want to know as far as this, because Freddie Mercury had a specific way of speaking. Because he's English and he had those very large front teeth.
Yeah.
Which, when you see him on stage, that's not a thing you notice. But in interviews...
No, everything... You'll notice everything else.
Yeah, well, because he has his pose. Big teeth. Oh. Yeah, but he has... But when you see him in interviews, he does have protruding teeth.
I have this feeling that when he goes to sleep, he still oozes charisma.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just comes out of his...
It's like... Yeah, it's got swagger on stage. It's like, dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he wakes up that way.
Yeah. But yeah, I was curious, because... When you see Rami Malek talk on stage or in character, I was like, holy shit, why does he look and sound like Freddie Mercury? Good God. But yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised, but I can't wait to see it in November. I'm a big fan of Queen. I love their music. I thought Freddie Mercury, he's like in my top five frontman. That band is amazing, and I'm really glad they are involved in it. They're Brian May and Roger Taylor, who are the drummer and the lead guitarist. They are music producers on the film. I'm assuming they had some control over what the story is. So hopefully, you know, they do right by their friend and that this film does well. I know there is some we're going to get in a little bit.
We're about to get into just a bit, yeah.
Into the controversies.
I'm trying to pull up an article.
Yeah. But what did you think of the trailer before we talk about that?
I was pleasantly surprised because, again, the last thing that I had heard was that the movie was in developmental hell.
Yeah.
And it's really, really hard to get out of there. Sometimes it gets there and it gets put there indefinitely, which always sucks because I can imagine there's a couple of movies out there, not all of them, but there's a couple of movies that are probably on there that had so much potential,
yeah,
and we never get to see him. And I honestly thought Bohemian Rhapsody was going to be one of those that fell in there.
Well, like, you know, Johnny Depp's, was it Don Quixote, Man of Melancha? That was like a movie that, like, it was like a high production movie that had trouble all the way through, and it's never been released. And the documentary based on how bad it went has gotten like an Oscar nomination.
Oh shit!
So the movie itself didn't make it because it's probably terrible. It's on a shelf because all these other different things. Starring megastar Johnny Depp, but documentary about it, the behind the scenes Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
That's the closest thing that movie's going to get.
It's like, damn,
that's documentary.
Sucks. And I'm glad that didn't happen with Queen.
So
you want to get into the. You want to talk about what the problems were?
So going back forward, yeah. Just a second though. So seeing the trailer for it.
Yeah.
I was at work.
Yeah.
But so I have to keep, like, I wouldn't say a stoic face, but a serious face because I'm there, even though I joke around with everybody at work. But I had to keep that like, okay, cool, right on. But in the back of my head, I'm like, oh my God! Oh my God! Like, oh, just like, no, like, I wanted to be able to do that. Like, just start jumping up and down, like, oh my God, this is going to happen. Holy shit, this is going to. And I can only do it in my head.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember that episode of Scrubs? Where it goes to the point of view of Ted, of Jordan, and the Todd.
Yeah, the was it Our Story?
Yeah,
usually called Knife
and
Stories.
It's the scene where where he looks, where Dr. Kelso looks at Ted and he goes, "Did you do this?" And he goes, "Why, sir, I don't have the spine for it, remember?" And he keeps this stoic face, and but in his head he's going, "Yeah. I will murder you."
Aww.
That was me. That was me. I'm
poor
like
Ted.
I was like, "Oh, cool." But in my head, I'm jumping up and down, doing my happy dance.
I'm not gonna lie, because I knew the trailer was coming out because I had seen it on Twitter. And I'm like, "Oh," woke up in the morning, put it on, and you hear the bass line. First of all, whoever did the soundtrack,
the remix for that was spot.
It was super good. I'm like, "Oh man," because it goes, you hear the bass line from Another One Bites the Dust. You hear Bohemian Rhapsody. You hear all these songs, and it's amazing. It's really well done. And I didn't even think about it being a movie trailer until I heard Rami Malek talk about how, okay, now this is the part where we get the operatic section in, and the guy's like, "Okay," and I'm like, "Oh, that's right. This is a movie trailer." So I was so engrossed by the music playing. I'm like, "Oh shit." Couldn't. Yeah, it was super good.
Okay, so
yeah, but now,
so great movie. And by the way, it hit 1 million views within 7 hours.
Wow. I'm probably a bunch of those views.
Yeah.
I watched it a couple of times. I'm like, dang.
Stop padding the numbers.
I'm like, it's not padding. I just really like it. I mean, if they release that remix, I'm buying it.
Oh, yeah. They're going to.
I'm like, let me get some of these tracks.
I almost hope there's a scene in the movie where Freddie Mercury sees the Wayne's World rendition, because, you know, the story goes, and we've talked about this before, but the story goes that before he passed away, there had been rumors already that Freddie Mercury was sick.
Yeah, he was sick.
People didn't know what it was because he didn't say anything, but they like, dude, something's wrong with him. So Paramount sent an early cut, not fully edited, of the movie to Queen so that Freddie Mercury can see it. And apparently he absolutely loved that scene. And I want to say it was probably like a heartfelt moment.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
And I would love to see, because the only people that can tell us are the rest of the members of the band.
Yeah.
And I hope that they give us that. They show exactly what he did for that moment. Because again, that to me, that was the main introduction to Queen for me.
You know, I don't know if they'll have it that far, because the movie is supposed to take place, at least according to the synopsis, it's from the beginning to right before their performance for Live Aid.
Ayo.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, then when he played that part, I said, "Hey, I know that because I have a DVD I won an old Christmas company Christmas party, and it was the Queen Live at Wembley." And when he does that whole operatic part and tries to get everyone to copy him, like they have to follow, and they do it, and he goes, "Fuck you guys." For anyone who hasn't seen Freddie Mercury, like, actually seen what he looks like, you can look on YouTube, you can find it. If you look at any of his live performances, the part that amazed me so much about him is, A, the band is on stage for like an hour and a half, just killing it. If you look where he goes to, from where he stands near a speaker or when he plays the piano, you'll notice these cups. He has like 20 cups of water and beer. I'm going to say it's probably 80% beer. Him drinking that much and still being able to rock it in a concert.
Ayo!
Oh, man.
Sorry. I had to do that one more time. It felt right.
Yeah? Yeah, but okay. Anyway, so...
So now there's some controversy to it.
Yeah, God, this is so dumb. But yeah, go ahead.
This one comes from... And I guess he didn't want it to be too much, but people started responding.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But Brian Fuller...
Director, or producer, TV creator,
Couple of shows that you may remember him from, Hannibal.
Yeah.
He did the short-lived, but one of my favorite shows, Pushing Daisies. Yeah. And he does American Gods.
Yeah. He also was a producer on Heroes. He like started out there, he left, and then they tried to, when Heroes started to tank, they brought him back too late.
Yeah, he couldn't save it.
It's like, oh. I mean, they technically got another season, but you know.
And he's not happy with it. He's not happy with it because he thinks that it doesn't show enough of Freddie Mercury being, from what I'm reading, bi?
He was, because he had a longtime wife.
Right.
But he also... who he loved. He says he loved. She, in many interviews, he says he loves her. She says they loved each other, but he also was engaging in gay relationships with men.
And same-sex relationships, yeah.
And so some would argue saying that he was bisexual. Others would say, Elton John, you know, I guess at some point he was, he had a woman or he had a wife, but then transitioned from being I don't know about straight, but bisexual to just gay, because now he's with the guy. It might be something like that. Had he lived longer, maybe it would have been something to that effect. Others would believe he's a gay icon because of him, you know, the perception that he was gay. The problem is he never officially came out, so you can't say anything about it.
Right. But
there's out there's but according, it's heavily insinuated.
Yeah. So Fuller is upset because he believes that Fox didn't show enough of that.
They're saying that he's being Hollywood is straight washing his career or his life.
Which, I mean, we're talking about Fox here.
Yeah, I mean, not even just that, but it's also the idea that this is not a documentary about Freddie Mercury. It is a biopic film, but it is a movie to entertain.
Right.
There's gonna be some things they may change around. Also, I'm going to say...
We only got... How much of the video was it?
It's a minute and 30 seconds.
So we got a 90-second video.
Yeah.
Compared to this weekend to a movie that's probably going to be about an hour.
Hour and 50? Or not, well, maybe less. It'd probably be like an hour and a half. I don't know.
I'll say an hour and 40 minutes, just, you know, to play it safe.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure we're going to get the representation of Freddie Mercury that you're going to want to see.
Yeah.
And it's not that you're gonna want to see; it's just like of who he is.
You know what's funny is when I read that, I'm like, for real. And I had some friends post about it and talk about it, and I was like, I feel like this is a knee jerk reaction. And I get it; I've done that. But I also look at this and went, hold on a second. Let's rationalize this. Let me look at the trailer. There are like I'm gonna say a total of 5 seconds of him, and I'm being 5 seconds is a stretch of him interacting with the woman. Actually, not even interacting. Him, I guess interacting. It's like it's like a gaze between him and this blonde woman, which I'm assuming is the woman he ends up marrying, with him on stage and her in the crowd. And then another second at a bar. And at the end of the trailer, you see him twirling her. But we don't know anything about that. And I told you this off recording, that I looked and I think it's at the 34 second mark. There is a moment where you see him on a chair. And I would say a very slim, good-looking dude leaning into him, like, not saying they're not naked, but it looks like they're going to have a moment where something may happen. Like, that might be one of many scenes we're going to see where he's with a man.
You know what this reminds me of is when, and, you know, kind of jumping on a different medium here, but this reminds me when King of Fighters 14 was announced.
Yeah.
And they weren't doing the cel shaded sprites anymore, which again, I've said this many a times, I'm still bummed out about.
Yeah.
But they went into a direction of more 3D, more 3D render.
It's trending, like Street Fighter 4 and whatnot.
And the game, according to a lot of people, now that, mind you, this is a game that's coming out on the PS4, looked like a PS2 game.
Yeah.
But we had gotten such an early build of it because what SNK was trying to do was saying, like, hey, look what we're doing over here.
Yeah.
We want to show you that we're working on another King of Fighters. And everybody shat on
it. Oh, yeah. It was not a great reception.
It was just, people were just tearing it apart. But again, much like I'm doing with the Queen Bohemian Rhapsody movie, I did with King of Fighters. I'm going to hold judgment until the full product comes out.
Yeah.
And it is one of the most beautiful looking games to come out for the King of Fighters series.
Yeah, it's fantastic looking.
You know, and I get it. There's the part of you that feels that the a lot of people want to feel like they're being representative through Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
We only got 90 seconds, guys.
Yeah. And it's not even all him. I mean, mind you, this movie is not just, it's not, it is about heavily about
and you know, and you know that, that it, going into that, we know we're going to see something about it.
Yeah.
But hey, don't forget about the other members that contributed to Queen.
It's not Freddie Mercury, it's Queen.
It's not a Freddie Mercury biopic. It is a Queen.
Yeah, it's about Queen.
Biopic.
And Freddie Mercury being the front man. And I'm also going to say that, you know, members of the band of Queen were music producers on this film. They are, and they had some say in what is going on in this movie. They're the ones who, originally Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to be in this. The band said, we're not really feeling him. They're like, okay. So he's gone. They pick someone else. I'm like, okay. So I have to believe that they would know about their friend. They would know these things, and they would want to do right by him. Also, if you want to feel representative of the story about Freddie Mercury, watch his documentary. I highly recommend it. It's really good. I mean, I have. I mean, I own it. So
I remember when my roommate put the Live Aid performance on the big screen.
Oh, my God.
It's just like...
So amazing.
Oh, my God. God, to this day, And you know Wembley still loves him.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was that time that Green Day was performing at Wembley, but they made sure that before they came out, they played Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, well, because that's their...
That crowd sang the entire thing.
I'm going to say that Freddie Mercury, like, the band Queen is probably... That's their, like, that's their band. That's, I mean, sorry, Rolling Stones. Sorry, Beatles. I'm like, no. You got this. For as far as, like, arena rock. Because they were... They for all intents and purposes, were like a British arena rock band. They knew how to perform on stage. I loved that they... If you watch their performances, every band member, from the drummer, bassist, lead guitar, they all have bright colors on. So if you're up front, you can see them. And if you're way in the back because you showed up late or couldn't afford nicer seats, you could still see them and watch an amazing show. The ladder. Show. Well, yeah.
Sorry, the ladder.
Well... I don't know, man.
So yeah, it did what the teaser trailer did exactly what it needed to do for me. It made me excited. I'm glad that it's moving forward.
I'm glad to see anything on it. I remember actually talking to was an episode where it was Sarah and I were talking about it, and I was very surprised that A, they didn't pick Sacha Baron Cohen because I thought he's a big enough name where they would just keep him, and B, that they got Rami Malek. I'm like, wait, Mr. Robot's in this? I don't know. We'll see. And then I see it. I'm like, holy shit, this is fantastic.
Good call. Good call. Yeah.
Well, he's a good actor. So the line he says when he goes 6 bloody minutes, and I was thinking about that. It's like, holy shit, songs weren't that long then. like, you know, Rolling Stones, the Beatles, their songs are like, what, on average, like 2 minutes, 2.5?
Three, sometimes.
Maxing out at 3, right? And he goes, 6 minutes? And he goes, that's too bloody long. And he goes, well, I feel sorry for your wife if you think 6 minutes is too long. I'm like, oh! Oh! Yeah, zing! But yes, but yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, if it is what it is, we'll find out when it comes out. I mean, if they don't show his life there, then I'll be like, well, you know, then it's a very honest story about Freddie Mercury because he didn't want anyone to know about that.
Yeah, did everything. Can you imagine if he were alive today and he were to go through that? Like, how impossible would it be to keep that a secret?
Well, I would say because of all, like, was it smartphones, TMZ, social media?
But you know what I will say about this, though, is that...
But I think they'd be pretty... I mean, considering where he's front, where he is, it's not like he lives in a very conservative world or state or whatever where being gay would be an issue. I'm like, no, man. Fucking Boy George is right there, dude. Elton John's right there. It's cool.
Yeah.
You got this.
But just for the part of, like, if he wanted to keep anything secret.
Yeah.
But, you know... I think that because of the society we live in that case, you know, as you mentioned before, smartphones, TMZ and everything, when we are able to be surprised, it is that much better because we know it's so hard to do now.
It's really difficult, especially, I mean, there are some actors where I like finding out about it when it's like, oh, I didn't even think about it. Like, I didn't care about that. Like, I didn't know that, oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? He was in... the Hobbit movies, and he was the villain in Fast 7-6.
Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank.
But yeah, anyways, that actor, he is. I found out that I believe he's openly gay, and there were some company or some organization was giving him an award until they found out he was gay. I'm like, I'm gonna give a fuck. I'm like, A, good for you. B, good for whoever you're dating because they're lucking out.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, good looking guy. Yeah, you're in. But it's one of those things where I'm like, eh. Like, I feel for him because it's one of those things where had he been around now, perhaps, you know, he'd been getting treatment, there'd be there's just more information and better things to deal with for people in his situation. I mean, obviously, people still struggle with identity, with sexual identity, worrying about being accepted and whatnot, but I feel like we're in a better place.
Comparatively speaking.
The fact that he had to hide it and everything, and it's like, oh, yeah. Dude.
So, Queen biopic movie, you will get my money.
Oh, yeah. No, come November, we're in. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, definitely. Man, I'm watching this.
Okay. The next topic on the bill.
Yep.
Nobuo Uematsu.
Yes.
Now, for a lot of people, they don't know that name.
Yeah.
And the reason we're bringing it up is because he was the composer to a lot of the Final Fantasy games, and he has been confirmed to be coming back to work on the Final Fantasy VII remake. And Final Fantasy VII had some of the cool music on there, So I'm just like, oh, like, I can't wait to see what kind of modern twist that he's going to put this on to. But now it kind of also leads to the question of, where's my Final Fantasy?
Yeah, you know, I'm waiting to see if they make an announcement at E3 this year. I know it's coming up next month, because it would be good to know when that is, because last year they said it's on track with Kingdom Hearts 3 for 2018. Mind you, we're still in 2018, so there is some time.
And we've been getting our Kingdom Hearts trailers, but with the Japanese language instead of the English dubbing.
Yeah.
So it's just like, how much are they actually complete on this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and translation and localization take a while.
Could it be that we may actually get both of these games in 2019?
You know, maybe. That might be a thing. But anyways, while you were talking, I was trying to pull up all the dings that Mr. Uematsu has done. I know it's a huge list. Because I was looking at it, I'm like, dang, he worked on so much. But yeah, he was the original composer for Final Fantasy VII, one of the more popular Final Fantasies of the modern age, at the time at least. And he had mentioned in 2015 that he wasn't in, and they're like, yeah, we got someone else. And now they're saying, no, he's in. We for real this time. No, this time, we're not kidding. But yeah, so he'd been working on different video games since 1986. His first game that we have listed here is Cruise Chaser Blatzy.
Interesting.
Okay, let's go with something more. He did Rad Racer 2, The Final Fantasy Legend, Final Fantasy 3, Romancing Saga 2, Chrono Trigger. He's one of the composers on that.
That had a cool soundtrack, too.
Yeah, Front Mission, Final Fantasy 7, Final Fantasy 9, Final Fantasy 8. He actually even worked on Final Fantasy X. He's been working a lot. Jesus, his list is huge.
Now, here's the thing. I think he was in the States. It was Final Fantasy VI that had Kefka.
You know, my memory's off on that.
And when doing the credits at the beginning, his name actually comes up before anybody else's.
Well, I mean, he's kind of big time.
He's not kind of big time.
I mean, like,
he is the Beethoven of video game music.
Well, not just that. He also does anime, like live action films. Like, he did, he composed the theme song for Oh My Goddess. Oh, wow. He actually did that. He's on the Final Fantasy VII Advent Children movie. Of course, I mean, it's a Final Fantasy film. Fairy Tale, Gunblue Fantasy Animation. He's got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he's got tons of things.
I mean, when you're a composer, I mean, like, look at John Williams. John Williams, like, excuse me there, he does so many movies.
I don't want him to go.
John Williams. Well,
don't go, John Williams.
You know, you can only do so. He's been making movies. He has Academy Awards from movies made in the 70s. And he still gets Academy Awards, like, now. I don't think he got it last year, but he's still... It's a lot.
He could probably take all those awards and support his house. Just put the house on top of all of the awards and it'll hold it up.
I'm curious as to what he... Like, I would wear them as chains on mine. Like, I'd wear them as pendants on mine. I know it's like me, a big necklace, but I'm like, yeah, might as well just have it like dangling off a belt or something. Like, yeah, boom. Hit you with the Jaws one. Dun, dun, dun. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, what? That's what I got. Hearing... was it Nobuo coming back for to composing the music for the remake of Final Fantasy VII is exciting. It also, again, makes me wonder what's going on. I know they had some development issues. They had to change some things.
What this could also be is that it could try to be used to placate fans.
Of course.
Because they can say, like, look, we're going to be real with you. It's going to be a little while.
Yeah.
But here's this.
Yeah, we're going to have... Obviously, they want to... The game itself is fan service. Let's be honest. So
pure unadulterated fan service.
It's better than them just doing a straight port. They're gonna bring it in. They're gonna redo everything, which is really tough to do. And they're like, you know,
it's cool. What's weird about this too is it makes me excited for all the possibilities of what that game can do.
Yeah.
Because a while back, I ended up downloading the PC port on the PS4. So it was the PC one,
the one they released, like, here, you can play this.
And yeah. Like, and you're like, well, okay. You know, it was a little bit brighter than the PlayStation version and all this. But I was watching that, and then I started pulling up old YouTube videos, actually somewhat recent. And it's a guy talking about how you can do all these things in the game that I never even realized.
Not like what?
Well, okay. So first off, there is a way that you can essentially do an almost infinite kill with Barrett and with Vincent.
Mm.
So the way it works is they're ultimate weapons.
Yeah.
Vincent's being, I believe it was called Death Penalty.
Yeah.
And Barrett's being, and now I'm totally geeking out, by the way.
Yeah.
But, and Barrett's being the missing score. I never knew how their weapons actually worked. Because everybody's ultimate weapon could, had a special feel to it in order to make it powerful. Cloud's was, the more health he has, the more powerful it is.
Yeah.
The more damage you take, the more the sword starts to fade because it's getting weaker.
Yeah.
Tifa's power, her premium heart, she got stronger when her limit break started going up.
Yeah.
So it would start off really weak, but if she had limit break, she'd be like wrecking fools. Yeah. So for Death Penalty, it was how many kills that Vincent has gotten times whatever to get. And for Barrett, his was. His damage was equal to the amount of AP to the materia that is attached to his weapon.
Yeah, that I knew. That one for certain I knew.
So, like, a lot of these things I didn't know. I was like, what is this?
I didn't read a strategy guide.
I never read a strategy guide.
I totally read the strategy. I'm like, yeah. Oh, shit.
So, what they ended up doing is they found out that what you can do is you can essentially break the game in the sense of their weapons are too powerful that the game doesn't know how to register damage. So it actually goes past the 9,999 limit damage limit, and what'll come up is gibberish.
Well, of course, because it can't register it.
So it can't register it, but it'll do like massive damage. It came to the point where you can even take out the weapons in like 4 or 5 shots with Vincent.
Wow.
Because it's just doing so much massive damage. And how it works is, once you get it to as high as you can, you give each character like 4 to 6 hero drinks, which increase all your stats for that fight. And the game doesn't know how to register it at that point, so it's just like, and just like random numbers starts appear that's way more powerful than the 9,999. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
One more. There was one that I found where you could actually use the W item trick to multiply items, but you can use it to multiply the source items, like power source, guard source. What you would have to do is you would throw an item to where, like, the first slot is empty. And then you would start the W item trick, and you would morph an enemy that turns into a source.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is you start multiplying the source. Now, even though you can't use the item in battle,
you're
multiplying it and you're creating it. So by the end of the fight, you can have 99.
Yeah, because you won't be able to use them
until during the fight. Yeah. So you end up using it after the fight, and you can give essentially somebody 99 boost on whatever one stat.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what the fuck? Where was YouTube when I was younger? Well, I could have used this to kill the freaking weapons.
They didn't have that then.
I could put Ruby Weapon to sleep.
You know,
you
could do that now, right? I mean, you can.
Well, that's what I started doing in the game. I was like, I started watching on everything that you can do, and I just started doing it off of the PC port.
There are some random stories in there that I didn't think about. Like when you go into someone was telling you about how when you have Cloud in that one spa area, you actually don't have to have Cloud in there. You can have any other character. I'm like, wait, what? Like, I didn't have to be Cloud.
Was that something that that was only in the Japanese version?
I believe it was implemented in the in the PC port. I think that's something that's actually in. I'm like, wait, what? Because a lot of the things that are in the PC version was from the Japanese version into the PC release because it was later.
Right.
It's like, oh, I mean, not that it makes a huge difference. I'm like, okay.
But, you know, for guys that grew up to the game like we did, and see, it's those little things that are just like, oh, wow.
It totally changed everything.
So imagine, what kind of little things are they going to do for the remake? You know, that's what I'm excited about.
Obviously, they're going to be using the graphics they got from, was it Final Fantasy 15?
The issue is that a lot of the things that ended up happening on there were glitches. They weren't anything that were built into the game.
I'm assuming that,
but they did add a layer of fun and excitement.
I'm sure they might reference those things. Sure you'll see like a thing where they'll talk about that. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm also curious as to how the game itself will play, because as the full motion video look, how good as it looked then, you know, the game was very linear. And the trailers you see now, or the screenshots you see now, makes the game look like it's a really big open world. And I think it's really exciting. And part of me is like, those fuckers are gonna, they're gonna make it like Final Fantasy X, aren't they? Where it's like, where it looks that way, but really, you know, you need to go on this path.
Like, it's, you only go,
which
this
I'm okay with. I'm okay with that. I'm, and a lot of people are like, oh, I want to do open world. I'm like, no, motherfuckers, I'm gonna get stuck. I want to give me a path. I want to do it. I don't need a.
I mean, you can. You know what? My guess is that they'll probably change up a lot of the puzzles in the game. Oh, yeah. Too. So if you
they
want
modern, they gotta you know, switch stuff for the day.
If you want that feel of just like, you know, I want to get lost, they'll probably redo the Forbidden Forest.
Yeah.
And they'll probably redo the what is it? Not the crater, but before the crater, before you get to the northern crater.
Okay. Yeah.
So you know how you have to actually navigate. Like, if you wanted to get the Alexander materia, you got to go splash your hand in the hot spring.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just
do
like
all this state
fucking like, weird. Like, am I going the right path? Am I supposed to go this way?
Like, yeah. It's this one path. Wait, but for real? God damn it.
Yeah. So you'll probably get what you want. I can tell you that.
Well, I'm looking at it, I'm like,
and it's going to sound awesome along the way.
Yeah. I mean, well, because they got the original composer. Hopefully everything will work out well. Hopefully there's no issue with that and that the development. Because, again, I'm probably going to wait for E3 in June, right? Is it coming in June? Yeah, June. It were for any big announcements on this, because I'm assuming they'll let you know.
I feel as though we need to do like a Facebook Live reaction video to this.
Probably.
Like, we'll take the day off.
And then like have
and we'll just watch everything that's going on at E3 and just do our reaction.
I'd be like, fuck, but it said delayed to 20. Fuck you. God damn it.
Like we got to make sure that to the right of us, we have plenty of TV, or not TVs, tables.
Oh, yeah.
So that whenever we get the bad news, you just flip that shit
over.
You
know what we can do? Just make a small table. Like a cup, like the size of a cup, and just flip it over. Like, well, because I don't want to do any damage. Like, nope, table.
You know what? We
can make a tiny table.
I want to do this now.
Yeah.
Let us know if you guys want us to do that.
Yeah.
We'll do a Facebook Live reaction.
Reaction, and then we'll make it, if it's made of Legos, or if I take a cup and just cut it so it looks like a table, I'm like, we'll flip it over.
Or you know what? We got to find stuff that we can just break.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to take a hammer to it or something. Like, it's something that's just not working anymore. Yeah. It's nothing. So that's just like, okay, we get the bad news. So we'll pan over to the right here where Randy Kings has a hammer. Clunk! And then we go back to us watching the video.
What if they go, just kidding, guys. It's coming out in this day.
And then we'll break another thing because we're so mad that we broke the first thing.
And then we're like, hooray, it's coming out in this Christmas. Yay. Final Fantasy VII. I don't know, what's funny is that I remember they've been talking about this for a long time. And it's one of those things where I went, okay, guys, you burned me on Final Fantasy 15. Because I was juiced over Final Fantasy 15.
You said it wasn't worth it, right?
For the amount of time for me personally, I had seen that announcement. I was at E3 when they announced it. I was a PlayStation 3 owner waiting for it. And then it didn't come out. And then the PS4 comes out. And was it like last year? Was it last year or 2 years ago it comes out? I'm like, motherfuckers. I didn't even have a child yet. That's how long ago that was. I'm like, you assholes. I'd already been like, my son's in kindergarten. He's going to be in kindergarten.
Were they still called Squaresoft at that point?
No, it was they're Square Enix.
They had gone by Enix by that point?
But yeah, okay. By then. It's like, that deal that happened a long time ago. But yeah, I've already jumped generations from console to console. It's like, god damn it. So like the win got, for that, I'm like, I can't. I saw it, and I'm like, you made me wait for this shit. Come on, guys.
Did you have fun with it?
You know, it was interesting. I thought it was cool, but I couldn't get over the fact that I had been waiting for so goddamn long from that announcement at E3 for them to tell me about it, to show me screenshots, and then, you know. I was late to getting, like, it's not like it came out the first year the PS4 had been around.
Yeah.
It was years into. It's been multiple years into the PlayStation 4. But anyways, I
already please don't fuck. Well, basically, what we're saying is please don't fuck
don't mess
with
us this up, man.
When it comes down to Final Fantasy VII Remake, please.
It's like, are we gonna get in the? It's gonna be like the second year into PlayStation 5. It will be a VR experience. I'm like, you assholes.
You assholes.
I'll be like, no, 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 no.
Okay, so.
But anyways,
so I'm happy to hear that the original composer is gonna be back.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Remake. Okay. Last thing on the docket, we got the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie.
Yeah, they announced, I guess there's been an announcement that Obi-Wan Kenobi, his solo film, will be in production next year, which I'm really excited about. There's been a lot of talk about it, because I know with the solo Star Wars story, when they announced that, people were very disappointed because they would rather see an Obi-Wan film. I am one of those people, not saying that I don't want to see a Han Solo film, but I'm more excited to see something about Obi-Wan. Just because, I don't know, I want to know what happens between Revenge of the Jedi and before Star Wars A New Hope. I mean, you get a glimpse of it in Star Wars Rebels, because they talk about, there's an episode where the character Ezra goes to Tatooine to find him, because he's concerned that Maul is coming after him. Darth Maul and Obi-Wan have had, like, many of tussle in the animated iterations of Star Wars. So you see him, and then, you know, you find out that Obi-Wan actually is protecting Luke Skywalker, and you actually see, I had told you before that, at the end of that episode, after he kills Maul, because he threatened, not directly, but he had said that
he's looking for the thing that he cherishes
most.
Yeah,
he's saying, oh, why are you here? Why'd you come to this planet? It's like, because, you know, Tatooine's a shithole. Why would you come here? He goes, unless you're here for someone. And, you know, Maul had already done that to him already. He, like, had killed a woman that Obi-Wan had loved, who was actually, like, she was, like, the queen of Mandalore. It's like, killed him in front of her, or killed her in front of him, too. But when he tells them, well, who are you here for? I'll make them talk. And then that's when they fight and Darth Maul gets cut. But yeah, I'm curious on how that is. I mean, I imagine he aged a lot on Tatooine. Cause if you see, it's not a huge,
it's a shithole.
Well, not just that, but I'm saying the amount of, I think it was kind of calculated the amount of time between the Empire or Revenge of the Sith to A New Hope. I think it's supposed to be like 10, 15 years. And he looks like how Ewan McGregor looks at the end of Revenge of the Sith to Alec Guinness. Man, he got hella old. like things have been weighing on him. And so I'm curious on how the movie will be. Will we see like maybe a more badass, I guess the word desperate would be the word I'd use. Because, you know, he needs to make sure that Luke's not fucking around, or like no one's trying to come after him. If he becomes friends with any dastardly people in that shithole Tatooine, because, right, you know,
again, it's a shithole.
It's a shit. There's scum and villainy. There's a, like, he knew places to go to find a ride off that planet in Star Wars. So I imagine he may not have been the most, not necessarily, like, he wasn't participating in honorable acts, because it's not a scenarios where he would, where it would benefit him from being that way.
Again, Tatooine, that's the only thing that you can do in order to survive.
Moisture farmer and, like, scumbag. That's your two choices.
That's all you get.
Yeah. You know what I find funny is that Luke Skywalker is from Tatooine. That's where he was raised. And when you see him meet Rey in episode 8, he goes, oh, you're from nowhere. Where are you from, really? He goes, Jakku, oh, that flight. Like, I'm like, dude, you're talking crap. A guy raised on Tatooine talking shit about Jakku. Because I don't even know what, other than you being a scavenger, I don't know what else you do on Jakku.
True.
Because at least in time,
You know, I know that Marvel Comics ended up coming out with some things as far as following the exploits of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Kenobi.
When he was at Tatooine. And there are times where he actually tries to reach out to Luke and, like, to actually go meet him and talk to him. And every time, his aunt and uncle will always just stop him in some way or form.
Well, I mean, even when you see it, when he talks to him about how he's looking for Obi-Wan Kenobi, they don't know who he is, and the look on Uncle Owen's face, you know that he knows something.
Right.
Because maybe he means old Ben Kenobi. And it's like, nah, I don't know. It's like, oh, shit.
Like something's up here.
Yeah, I'm sure that you'll may see some run-ins. Part of me wants it to probably be part comedy. Like, you see a very young Luke Skywalker get into a lot of trouble, and Obi-Wan behind the scenes saving his ass.
Yeah,
it's like, dang, for real.
like if he takes a step in this direction, he'll fall down a cliff or something.
Yeah.
So he just force pushes something, so like a wind gust.
yeah,
some shit like that.
Yeah, it's
you
like
know?
little things like that. But in honesty, I think it'll be a very serious film, and maybe we'll get to see some of the exploits he does on there. Like, you'll find out, because a guy can't live on his own like that.
Who is written in for Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Right now, I know the fans want it to be Ian McGregor, and I believe that's the unofficial choice, because I can't imagine them picking anyone else right now.
Do you think he'd want to do it?
No, he said he's down. He's okay. I mean, he showed up to be in Like, was it he recorded audio for episode 7. Like, he's actually in, like, when Rey goes down in Maz's, like, bar area and gets the lightsaber. You hear audio in there. And if, for people don't know, if you watch the original scene, she actually walks into a memory of Luke Skywalker, which is him battling Darth Vader in Cloud City. And that's how, like, she, the path gets to that. But there's a bunch of audio that plays in the background. It's like Darth Vader's voice. It's a bunch of people's voices. And one of them being in a new recording of Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, like saying, Rey, these are your first steps. And it's one of those things where, like, he revealed that. It's like, no, that's legit. I'm like, well, because he's okay with doing this.
Yeah, he's having fun. Let him have his fun.
But also, it's funny because now he's going to be at the close to the age where he could be out. Like, I think, was it, not, I'm not saying the exact age, but he's getting to the point where he could be Alec Guinness from the original trilogy. I'm like, well, yeah, get him in now.
Yeah, the guy, and you know what? The guy is actually 47.
Yeah, he's old. He's not a young man.
He hides it so well, though.
I mean, I'm still amazed that he did the sequel to Trainspotting.
Oh, fuck.
Was it TP2 or whatever?
Yeah.
T2? Which I was like, why did they call it that? That's so weird.
I think that was kind of the reason, because that movie is, I mean, fucking the first Trainspotter is a fucked up movie.
It is really messed up, and this one's supposed to be like 20 years later, which it is actually 20 years later, and it's their lives.
Legitimately after. 20 years. Yeah.
No, like real time, 20 years. I looked at it, I'm like, holy shit. Ewan McGregor? No, I mean, but yeah, if they can get the right writing team down, if they can get a good story, I think it'd be okay. I'm just kind of disappointed that we have to wait. Like, it's going to be the third movie in... For me, that should have been, like, the second choice. Like, it should have gone Rogue One, then Obi-Wan film,
and then Han Solo?
And then a Han Solo movie. But, you know, hey, it's whatever. It's whatever we get in production, whatever can work out. And, you know, I understand. Like, after thinking about this, I'm like, damn, if it goes in production in 2019, it's like we're going to have Star Wars movies every year.
Yeah. One Star Wars, yeah, that's what we've been having as of late, actually.
Which I understand, like, I said, Mark Hamill he voiced his concern saying that there might be franchise fatigue because we are getting one a year. And, like, I'm like, well, it depends on how good it is. And, you know, was it Harry Potter was like that? Like 9 of those movies.
I mean, look at Avengers. Like, we were coming out with a new superhero movie, what, like 2 or 3 a year before we got to Avengers?
Yeah.
And that's the first Avengers. I'm not even talking about, like, Infinity War.
Yeah.
Just the regular Avengers movie.
Yeah.
So, I understand where Mark Hamill is coming from.
I mean, if people want it, I mean, the best way we will show an example is if people go to watch it and it's successful, then it's whatever. Why stop?
Yeah.
Why would you stop making it? I look at him like,
if it starts going in a direction where it's just like, okay, this is getting weird now.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of thing? It's just like, okay, then that would make sense. But if you've got the right people working on it,
yeah,
then you have nothing to worry about.
I mean, they haven't announced who the writers are yet. They haven't even, I don't think they have a director. They just know that, okay, we're going to go in the, that's their next choice. Which I'm like, all right, cool.
Do you think we're going to get a ghost Luke Skywalker in 9?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would hope so. I'd be like, I know he's supposed to be in it. I don't know what his story is because they changed directors. And Mark Hamill had mentioned that he'd already been speaking with the dude from...
Who was supposed to do 9?
It was the guy who directed Jurassic World.
He was supposed to do 9?
Yes.
And then it went back to...
Well, because they had some issues with him. I think because he did this movie called, like, About Henry or something, which was a terrible movie. I actually tried watching it. I'm like,
And so they went back to J.J. Abrams, right?
They weren't looking around, and they first asked J.J., and he goes, do you want to do this? And he's like, I can't. I did the first one. It's a lot of pressure. I'm good, thanks. And then they couldn't find anyone, and I think they threw some money at him, and he's like, I can't. Okay, I'll do it. Which, you know, now things will be made. We'll see. It was tough.
Add an extra zero to that?
Was it if Bender says, add 2 zeros to the end of that, and we got a deal? He's all, hey, Leela, I got you a contract. You're going to make a whole dollar. Or is it, you're going to make $10?
That's right.
It's like, what the fuck? That's it? You were going to only give him a dollar? But yeah, we'll see. I mean, some people don't like the last iterations of Star Wars films. We've talked about this before, where I always gauge it where did I have a good time watching it with my family? And it's been yes.
Okay.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with 9. But yeah, with Obi-Wan, I don't know who they would get. I don't even know the kind of tone they would make this movie. I kind of want it to be it's like, because he basically is spending his 40 days fighting the devil, essentially, like how Jesus was lost in the desert, fighting temptations. Like, well, I don't know. Not necessarily that he has to fight temptation, but I'm saying Obi-Wan's going to be spending some time maybe doing some dastardly things in the desert, Tatooine.
And it's not
picking a fight with some Hutts, I don't know.
And like getting all guilt ridden about it too.
Maybe. Or maybe he's got to follow around some fucking kid running
around. Or you know what? Maybe he's acting like a bounty hunter where he's just going after scumbags.
He does have to hide his identity. You know,
right.
Jedis are banned, essentially?
Outlawed, yeah.
They're outlaws. I wonder if they would even... I feel like that'd be a cop-out, though, if they would include Darth Vader, like, if he tried to get the Tatooine. But I feel like that, I'm like, why didn't he know, A, know his son was there, B, why couldn't he find Obi-Wan if he was that close?
Don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, they can have him be a bounty hunter or join bounty hunters.
Right. That's how he makes ends meet. So yeah. Like, even though he's not necessarily doing it by the books.
No.
It's just like, well, at least he knows that the wrong people are being taken out.
Well, I mean, it'd be a thing. Again, he can't reveal that he's a Jedi. He'd been, you know, hiding out trying to protect this kid and protecting his family, dealing with a-holes like Darth Maul showing up. It's like, what the hell, guy?
I'm gonna fix his wagon.
Like, God damn it. I already cut your legs off. What else do you want? But yeah, we'll see how it is. I mean, I do hope that Ewan McGregor comes back for it, just because I can't, like, he's the person I see now who could do it. Because Alec Guinness is not alive, so it's not like we can get him to do that again.
I heard he hated the role.
Alec Guinness?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was not a fan.
Yeah, like, after that blew up and he wanted to be known for other stuff.
Well, because he was a classically trained actor. He had done, like, Hamlet. He had done, like, a bunch of, like, stage work. And it's one of those things where I don't think it was expected to be. I mean, like, many of the people who were on the film did not know it was going to be this huge thing. And it's one of those first big fandoms you get there for the modern age.
Yeah.
And it's like... I'm hoping at the end that he appreciated, but I know like Mark Hamill's like, I think he got like, he has stories about Alec Guinness kind of talking crap about him and his craft.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, well, it's not a lie. Like he said something, there was like an effect that basically was like, it's not that big a deal. We're in a space movie. And I'm like, you know, to be honest, Alec Guinness is right. Yes. It's not a huge deal. This is a space movie.
I guess if you look at it in the bigger
at
picture.
The time, things, I mean, like, yeah. I forgot something like minor that, like, I think it's implying that Mark Hamill was trying really hard to act in the scene. And he's like, listen, we're in a space movie. Be cool, guy. let's wrap this up. I got lunch. But yeah.
I got a lunch date.
I mean, I get that. But yeah, if he didn't like it. I mean, let's be honest, like Harrison Ford. He's a lot nicer about Star Wars now that he's not part of it.
Right.
They killed him off. Okay, it's cool, guys. Star Wars is great. I'm not in it, but it's great. This is amazing.
I think it's great because I'm not in
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, I saw this funny thing where Conan O'Brien, he has that producer who I actually don't know how he...
Jordan Schlansky.
Yeah. I appreciate that he's a Star Wars fan, but B, he's such a douche about it. Like, apparently he'd been...
He's got to be doing a bit, dude.
Part of me wants to believe it's a bit.
There's no way.
But at the same time, I know guys... I've met guys like him. Like, if he's a toy collector, like, if he's faking it, that's fine. But he's doing a really good depiction. There's a point where you find out that because through his connection as Conan O'Brien's producer, he had gotten some Star Wars collectibles sent to him that was supposed to be for a charity event, but he kept it for himself. I'm not saying that I wouldn't do that, but I am saying if it's for charity, I'm going to put it to charity.
Yeah.
Conan found out about it, threw it away, like took it. Asked to see some of his new things. He had gotten some replica Star Wars helmets, like Darth Vader and Stormtrooper helmets made, and he was very specific on the design he wanted, and he wouldn't touch it with his bare hands. He put gloves on, put it in, asked Conan could he touch it, and he goes, no, I have a feeling, A, you didn't wash your hands, and all these, and I'm like, buddy, don't be a dick. I look at him like, but I know guys who are like that. That's the problem. That's the thing. But
this can't be real.
Yeah. The thing is, I know a guy that's, I know, well, not guy specifically, but I know some people who are like that. The part I liked was they had him meet Harrison Ford.
I saw
with
that
the Millennium Falcon. Let me sign this. And then he just throws. That part might be a bit. I'm assuming that
had to be a bit. Yeah.
I'm assuming that.
But the look on Shilansky's face. He was so dejected when that happened.
And I'm like, first of all, I'm not giving anything breakable to Harrison Ford that's Star Wars related, because I know his history. I'm not dumb. It's going to be a picture and then maybe an autograph on a paper. But he took that Lego Millennium Falcon and
just like, crunch. Oh,
hey, I'll sign this part. I'm like, I got a signed Lego from Harrison Ford. That's like all I needed. Just put it on there. Put it on whatever piece you need to put on. But yeah, I saw that. I'm like, oh God, you're so dumb. But yeah, Harrison Ford, not the guy to talk to about. Carrie Fisher, I think she eventually got over it. It's tough because A, being a woman, being the only female character being in lead for that franchise for a long time.
I love how they made fun of that on Family Guy when they did their parodies.
Oh yeah.
Where it's just like, hey, look, there's another female character, and Lois goes, I hate her
because there's only two of them. My favorite line from the Star Wars Family Guy series is when he goes, aren't you a little fat to be a stormtrooper? And she goes, fucking, well, the way is it, stay here and rot, you stuck up bitch. I was like, yeah, why didn't he do that?
Hey, I think Jabba was going to be pretty upset that his cat got away. Oh, kitty.
But yeah, for a lot of people who, it's understandable for the lead actors who may not enjoy being part of such a large thing and not expect it.
Right.
Mark Hamill is not one of those guys. He said, fuck yeah, this is awesome. Yeah. I mean,
he rode that thing as far as he could.
He's still riding it now. Yeah. I mean, he's still in it. It's like, dude, he's a fan who got to be in part of this franchise.
Right.
There's a video or a photo that he put on his Twitter where it shows the lineup for people watching, they want to watch Star Wars, and he has a line, an arrow pointing at this guy who I swear to God looks like him. He goes, it's not me, I would have seen it already. And I was like, it looks just like you, dude. Not that saying that he wouldn't line up for it. It's just that he didn't. I was like, that's not me.
I just to do, because we're at the hour mark.
Okay.
So the last part with the Hamill thing is there was somebody who compiled, like, you know, if you look at Dorkly or College Humor, yeah, they'll put like 15 reasons why this is 15 reasons, yeah, that. And it was like 14 reasons why Mark Hamill's the man. And I have to look at those because they kind of help me, like, gain more respect for humanity.
Well, he's such a good guy. B, he's like understanding about this type of fandom. Like he
and
loves...
so, but the bit was how he even shocked Daisy Ridley because she forgot that he was the Joker.
Yeah.
So like she's doing an interview and then she's talking to him and then you hear in the background, "Who's a Joker fan?"
Oh,
and
yeah,
she looks around like, "Oh my God, oh it's Mark."
Yeah, because of Mark Hamill. You know, there's a weird theory going around about Luke Skywalker, because I guess there's an issue with, I'm going to say because of costume design quality then, that there is, you can look it online, it's so weird. There is Luke and then bigger Luke. There is a like half inch disparity of Hans or of Mark Hamill's height in scenes in Star Wars A New Hope. And there's a whole weird theory behind it called Luke and Bigger Luke. And you find out there's two Luke Skywalkers in the Star Wars universe. There is actually a Wikipedia, like full on deep.
All right.
It is super weird.
All right. I'll look it up.
It is very, I heard about it and I didn't want to look into it. Then I saw a video where a guy goes into it and he goes, this is ridiculous. I can't believe I spent 2 days on this and I'm making a video about it.
But here it is.
Luke and Bigger Luke. I'm like, shut up. Shut up is not real. And if they fake that, it'd be awesome if it is true. Like episode 9, you find out, no, there's another Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
He's not dead. He didn't die.
That was bigger Luke.
That was bigger Luke. Here's the other Luke. He's like,
what's up, guys?
He's going to have short hair. He's going to be like super chill, dude.
He's going to talk like the Joker.
Oh man, what if he does? Because he's been on his own for a long time.
Like he got sand in his throat one day or something, and he was never able to clear it out entirely.
Yeah, hanging on Tatooine by himself, really weird. Doesn't have, you know, other creatures around him. Just him in the desert chilling. Bigger Luke. Anyways, yes, we're at the hour mark.
Joker Luke.
He's gonna have the white eyes and the big.
He's gonna be like, oh, that's enough meditation. Who's up for Chinese?
He's going to have a statue of a guy in a black suit with a yellow logo on it, just him talking to it. Oh, man, that's an idea. Oh, dang, that sounds like a good short.
Damn it.
Just him talking to it. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, the Joker's by himself. He misses his buddy.
Yeah. Joker Luke. Alrighty. Well, Randy King.
Yes.
We are past the hour mark, so indeed. If you've got any final words.
You know, I mean, if they tell you there's a bigger Luke Skywalker, just run away.
Just turn around.
Yeah.
And walk away.
I don't even want, I can't believe I even mentioned it, because it's just a crazy, crazy story. Yeah, yeah. What about you, buddy?
Okay, final words. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Let me give everybody an update. So all the videos are being edited by Power Surge. There was a bit of a delay. There is a snag, so he's trying to work on that. But I am not going to knock him for it, because I know he does good work. And if it means that we have to wait just a bit longer, I think it's going to be worth it, and I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy it. So,
sorry, I'm just looking at the website for Bigger Luke.
We're going to go ahead and wrap this up while Randy King starts diving into this all over again. So for Randy Kings, I am Emmanuel from the Word Vomit Podcast, the Word Vomit production crew. Hey, make sure you guys are following us on all social media platforms. We're on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. Make sure you are following us on there. Make sure you subscribe to the Word Vomit production page on YouTube. We will have some new content up there in the near future. I wanted to thank everybody for listening in and reminding everybody to, hey, stay shiny to each other.